Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Is it too early for that? Is it too early for that? A giant mistake. You see all the money it is, episode 151. You got a great drink that you can float 151 off the top. You light it on fire. Adios, mama. That's what it's called. There is Willie Adames looking happy, and we were all happy on that day where he gets introduced as the new shortstop of your San Francisco Giants. But since then, not so good. Maybe he's pressing. Bob Melvin said that yesterday. We'll get into that whole conversation. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope you are doing well on this Tuesday. No, it's Tuesday. Everything runs together, but it's Tuesday because I just heard the trash trucks outside of my house. It is trash day. So welcome in, episode 151. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, we should start with a 151 float. No, it's a little bit too early, kind of too early. It was just past 8:30 Pacific time. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you hanging out with us, and we just have an absolute ton to do today, an absolute ton, I got to tell you, because there's news not only on the front four, and we have to acknowledge this. We're a third of the way into the season, exactly one-third into the season, and Willie Adames has a long contract. It's not a Carlos Correa 13-year contract, but it's long enough. And so you start to panic a little bit, and we shall discuss. I'm not going to panic too much, but a giant mistake. And we'll get into that conversation as well. It is episode 151. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please make sure you are subscribed to the channel. That way, not only do you get the show Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and Saturday at 10 a.m., but you also get stuff we send out during the day. We send out like three or four pieces yesterday to the Lund Loyalists first, and then it goes out to the regular population. So just make sure that you are subscribed. Hit that like button, please, so that the algorithm will pick us up and think it's not a half bad show. And also, please make sure that you have those alerts on, like I said, because it goes, we do different things throughout the day. We shoot different things out throughout the day, especially with the 49ers during their OTAs. And I'll be down there later in the week. And so we'll have an opportunity to hear from some players and so forth. And you definitely want to have that. And we'll do some interviews and the such. But good morning. Also, the Bay Area Sports Collective. You see that B in the corner there? That is me, my show, John Lund Unleashed, Tom Tolbert, which is an awesome show. He had Steve Kerr on last week, had Marcus Thompson on last week, so don't miss those shows. Polly Mack, who today is a Tuesday, so Polly will be on at 11 o'clock right after me on the Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube, so make sure that you subscribe there. He's with Creative Tony. They do a tremendous show. Rod Brooks, I just was on the page and I just saw Rod. Quality Hang is up there. Amy G has got a podcast up there as well and a YouTube show, as does former Giant Jeremy Affeldt. And if you haven't heard Jeremy or seen Jeremy's show, he is awesome, interacts. He's just a great dude. So those are the podcasts and the YouTube shows we have so far, and we'll be adding constantly. As I told you, they don't trust me anymore because I just tell people what's happening. And they're like, yeah, we don't want to do that. So that's what's going on. But make sure you're subscribed to both channels, John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective. And before we get to the chalkboard and say good morning to everybody, remember this fine program, John Lund Unleashed, is sponsored by my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, right there in San Ramon. He is awesome. Click, I'll give you a minute, on the QR code right there. And plus it covers my face, which is a nice thing. But if you click on that QR code right there, you're going to go straight to the website, which is Reappell and Reappell Sports Medicine. And what's awesome about it is not only do they do the things I talk about, which is low T. I have low T, been doing treatments for years, but I found that Dr. Reappell is the best because it's not a weekly shot. It is a blood test. You're going to go exactly to the point that you want to be and you used to be. You're going to feel like yourself. Metabolism's going to be faster. You're going to feel better. You're going to feel like yourself. You're going to have more energy. I promise it makes a world of difference. I've been doing it for years. It's just you don't have to do the weekly shots. Really, really easy. Take a quick blood test, Dr. Riopelle, and it's great that it's a doctor is saying, okay, this is where we need to be. That's where I am, and I've never felt better. And then my wife, and I tell you this all the time, she's doing stem cell treatments. Dr. Riopelle is one of the first doctors in California years ago to do stem cell treatments. And if you haven't heard about stem cell, it is absolutely awesome. He can tell you the details, but I know this because I've experienced it with my wife. She had some foot problems, was having some problems there, and we could never walk long distances or run long distances. That's a thing of the past. Her elbow and her shoulder, I tell you this all the time, we would watch TV and she would have all these frozen type things and contraptions and she'd order them all off Amazon. And we actually ordered a square freezer to put all these things in, and she doesn't have to use it anymore. In fact, my son had an ankle issue the other day, and I'm like, well, we have a freezer full of frozen stuff because Lainey used to use that all the time. And now because of Dr. Riopel and the stem cell treatments he's done on her on the elbow and on the shoulder, she doesn't have to use anything anymore. And she feels absolutely great. So click on that QR code right there with Dr. Riopel, or real simple. All you have to do is just Google it. Just look it up, whatever is your favorite search engine of choice. Riopel is spelled R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. Dr. Jeffrey Riopel right there in San Ramon. If you're in the East Bay, it's a no-brainer. If you're anywhere in the Bay Area, I'm telling you, it is absolutely 100% worth the drive. He is the best. Tell him I sent you over when you call or make that appointment so that he can treat you in such an extra special way. Dr. Jeffrey Riopel, fine sponsor of the program. All right, let's get to it. Offense is offensive for the Giants. We'll discuss panic on Adamas. I want to get your viewpoints on this, not only in the chat room today, but hit me up right underneath here, your comments. Willie Adamas, too early to panic? Or are you going, come on, man. This dude, we finally get a signing. We feel good. And Willie Adamas is bombing to this level. We'll talk about it. Plus, Bob Melvin, excuse me one moment. Plus, Bob Melvin talks about it in postgame last night. So we'll hear from Bob Melvin on what's going on with Willie Adamas and his theories on why Adamas is off to a slow start. But do we have to panic? I want to get your thoughts on that. Pitching, for the most part, held up. Yesterday, I didn't think that was Hayden Birdsong's best start, and he has an explanation for it. Maybe it's an excuse. Maybe it's an explanation. We'll hear from him after the start as well. What can they do about the offense? We'll discuss a few things. I looked last night, man. I looked hard. I looked in the minors. I looked around the league. There's just not a lot out there, but there is something the Giants could do internally. I don't know if I love the option, but remember, Lamont Wade Jr., he's hitting 161 and hitting sixth in the lineup, by the way. 161 and hitting sixth in the lineup for the Giants, and we are not early anymore. We're not using that word anymore in the show. It is not early. We are a third of the way into the season. We are not early anymore, so they've got to do something about that. OTAs happening for the 49ers, as you see on the chalkboard there. But the biggest thing for me is, and I got to get Vic Taffer on the show. In fact, I got to do it this week. Vic is back, has written about the Raiders for years and years and years. And you know Vic Taffer, he's awesome. So he's back from Vegas. He's writing him about the Niners and does a great piece on Jake Moody. Jake Moody physically has changed something, but is that going to matter mentally? That's what I want to know. And so I'm going to talk about the Vic piece. I'm going to get Vic later on this week. Knicks and Pacers last night, Knicks and Pacers are tonight. OKC and Minnesota was last night. That was a crazy game. If the Warriors would have gotten that Anthony Edwards in the playoffs, then the Warriors would be moving on. I don't know what has happened to Julius Randle and Anthony Edwards in the playoffs. Dante DiVincenzo, who was terrible against the Warriors, and a bunch of these guys have stepped up for the Warriors for the Timberwolves, and they're sitting there going, Ant, hello? Hello? And same thing with Julius Randle. They just can't handle him. The problem for Minnesota is that Oklahoma City actually has some size, and the Warriors don't. And so they dominated. So we'll get a little bit more into that. Knicks and Pacers, my theory on, yep, I am a conspiracy theorist. We'll discuss that as well. Caboose has to do with Jimmy Snakes. I don't know if you've seen Jimmy Butler in this video. It is incredible and hilarious. So anyway, we'll do that as well. And random things happen throughout the show. By the way, I was having problems with this picture, but thanks to Scott Reese, he got me on last night. We were on Cron 4. There I am. See that? Lund latest was on Cron 4 last night, and I was having problems, but I got some video. I'll play it for you tomorrow on the show because we have so much going on today that I was like, I'll wait. But thanks to Scott Reese. Thanks to Cron 4. Had a good time last night on Sports Night Live. So good time. Had bell on that, so I appreciate Scott Reese having me on last night, and that is what's going on today, and we'll get to everything. There's just an absolute ton, like I said, in between Willie Adamas and Jake Moody talk. That'll probably take up most of the conversation today, but I am always one who, when my ADD kicks in, you never know what's going to happen. Hi, Dom. Hi, everybody, by the way. Great turnout today. John and Jake and Skeels. Lots of people in the room today. Joy, it is great to see you. Bucko Sports, good morning, good morning. Hurley Bird. All the people are in. Kenny Smith is in today. If you do not know, Bebop Jones is here today. That is great. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm looking over into the chat room, and it's a great conversation. It's a great community. So again, if you're watching on X, possibly at John Lund Radio, which is a place I'm off and on, or if you're watching on Instagram, which I put a bunch of shorts on and I did yesterday, whatever the case, LinkedIn, you could be watching on any way that you're watching. I do appreciate it. I really do. And I don't want to minimize that. But if you come over to the chat room, it's a lot of fun. A lot of people are hanging out today, as they always are over here on YouTube. So please come over and say good morning. Before we get started, let's start with a super. And by the way, if you 100% want to get your comments, questions, thoughts on the show, all you have to do is hit me up with the super on YouTube, and we are good to go. Much like James, Pat Bailey is hitting 176. Can we get Joey Bart back? Early in the season, I have not looked at Joey Bart lately. I'll do it right now. He was hitting like 314 early in the season, and he was looking pretty good. Joey Bart. You give up on guys. Patrick Bailey's so good defensively and steals so many strikes. All right, he's hitting 241 with a home run, OPS of 656. So, yeah, Patrick Bailey offensively sinks. I mean, I don't know what else to say. He was a passable hitter. And you went, okay, with Patrick Bailey in there, he's a passable hitter. He's so good defensively. Here's where Patrick Bailey's value is going to fall right off the table, and I'm sorry, but I agree with this. When Robo-Ump comes, and I want Robo-Ump because I'm sick and tired, and I love Mike Kruko, and this isn't on Mike. Don't get me wrong. Don't misconstrue this. I don't want to hear that he's a high ball pitcher, low ball pitcher. Like yesterday, Phil Cuzzy has a wide strike zone. Fuck that. All right? Sorry, but fuck that. There's one strike zone. It's not open to interpretation. It's right here. This is the strike zone. It's not, it's this guy's strike zone, that guy's strike zone, this guy's strike zone, this guy's strike zone. That's not the strike zone. There's one. It's defined. It's not open to interpretation. It's like math. You know, it's like science. Those things are not open to interpretation, and the strike zone is not open to interpretation. It's not creative. It's not like, you know, you're writing a paper and it's a creative paper and you can write that's cool. Like that creative paper can be an A and that creative paper can be an A. Like they're totally different things. It doesn't fluctuate. It doesn't move. Like it's the strike zone, man. And so Patrick Bailey hitting 176, which is not good. And he's great at throwing out runners, and he is great defensively. Blocked some balls yesterday. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, you'll hear it when we play Hayden Birdsong. I mean, he still strikes and does all the things when they go to Robo-Ump, and they should. And they should at the very least have that thing where they're tapping their head on balls and strikes. I mean, look, I'm not a Javi Lopez fan. I don't care what the Tigers do. But that was a terrible pitch. It was a terrible call. Like there was a couple on the Giants that were low balls, and they weren't consistent. That's the thing that drives me crazy. Okay, you're going to call that play. You're going to call that pitch all day. Fine. Then you're not consistent. I mean, it's just a joke the way it goes. It's Robo-Ump. Let's go. I don't care who it puts out of business. You should have been better. Like, I know they get 96% right, but we have the technology to get all of them right. Why wouldn't we do that? And it's instantaneous. It's not like now where I don't get me started. Like the NBA, let's take 5 minutes and stop the momentum of the game, which is an advantage for the opposing team who gets to sit down, have some water. The crowd's going crazy. We're sitting in the playoffs and we're having a 5 minute break. When we saw after one play, I'm drinking a beer on my couch. I'm sorry to go on this tangent, but we started. I'm drinking a beer on my couch. I saw in 5 seconds that play, and I could call it right now. Let me be New York. Nope, sorry, you got to get in line. There's other games. There's this 5 minutes. Meanwhile, the other team gets to rest. They get to get a free timeout. The momentum stops. The crowd was into the game. It's a playoff. The other team's on a run, and we stop for 5 minutes because – and then the referee gets on the mic. Like, no, man, no, instantaneous. New York just hits a button and says, 5 seconds. And if you can't figure it out in 30 seconds, play stands. And I've said this before in every single sport. If a call is questioned, then wipe the slate clean. It's not, this is the way it was called on the court or the field or the ice or whatever the case may be. If there was a question about it, it doesn't matter what the bias is. There should be no bias in replay calls. So we wipe the slate clean because we're not sure what happened. So you look at that thing, you look at that play with no bias whatsoever. Okay, this is the way it was called. I don't care. I don't care how it was called on the field. I don't care how it was called on the court. That shouldn't be a factor whatsoever. Get the call right. If you're looking at the call, then we're not sure. So there's no bias. I don't care what the umpire said. They miss calls all the time. Sorry. But my point is back to James' thought here, is Patrick Bailey's hitting 176. I could deal with that if I had the rest of my lineup hitting. But right now, the rest of my lineup is not. I have a joke of a first baseman. We are a third into the season, and Lamont Wade Jr. is hitting 162. What naked picture does he have of somebody high up in the Giants organization? Got to be. What else is the explanation? And I'm not anti-Lamont Wade Jr., but what I'm saying is that put him in the minors for a minute. Have a different set of eyes to look at the guy. Like, he walked yesterday, and I thought that was a huge win. I'm like, oh, my God, Lamont Wade Jr. walked. Like, that was a win when a guy walks at a power position that you need to hit. And he's hitting 60 yesterday. I don't care. I don't even want to look at the analytics. I don't give a shit what the analytics are. He's hitting 161, I think 162 now. Woo! I don't care who he's dominated. I don't care about left on right. I don't care about road games. I don't care about grass, day, this, that, curveball, slider, spin rate. I don't care. He's hitting 162. He shouldn't even be hitting. He should be hitting 10th in a nine-man lineup. There's no way he should be near it. And if he is, then put him somewhere. Go back to Arizona. Work on your swing. It's so embarrassing that a guy's hitting 161 or 160 whatever, and he's in the major leagues, and they've given him no help other than, okay, let's, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm sure they're in the cage every day working with a guy, and they've got a mental guy working with him and all these kind of things. He clearly needs to go down to the minor leagues. You can't be hitting a buck 60-something and then have a catcher hitting a buck 76, and then we'll get into Willy Adames in a minute and have him tanking the way he's tanking. My God. Like, what are we doing here? There's no other options. Now, I'll tell you, because I went through them, there's not a lot of them. You know, what I thought I was going to find, and thanks, James, sorry to go on this tangent. What I thought I was going to find was maybe there was a couple of minor leaguers that were, you know, used to be major leaguers that maybe the Giants could trade for or something like that. Somebody that, you know, it couldn't be as bad as hitting a buck 60, right? And I went through it. In fact, do I have it in my notes? I might have it in my notes, some of these names. They're bad. I'm just going to tell you right now, they're bad. Yeah, I have them right here. Let's see. I'm warning you, okay? Don't expect much here. These are guys who are in the minor leagues who you might have heard of. Trey Mancini is on the Reno Aces, which is in the Arizona system. 7 home runs, 34 RBIs, hitting .296 with an .836 OPS. He's 33 years old. You want Trey Mancini? Look, I'm not a Trey Mancini guy, but could he be doing worse? Mike Ford, the former Giant, St. Paul Saints, AAA from Minnesota. 8 homers, 27 RBIs, hitting .260. He's a left-handed hitter with an .846 minor league OPS. Garrett Cooper. You know Garrett Cooper. James Outman. Remember James Outman? I don't even know if he can play first base, but he's 6'2", 215. He's big. He's still in AAA for the Dodgers, not having a great year. Connor Joe is around. He's on the Reds, just sitting the bench. Connor Joe. And then as far as trade deadline, guys, I've told you I've beaten the drum for Rhys Hoskins. They got a mutual option for next year. You can just let him go, and hopefully Bryce Eldridge is ready. We just saw Nathaniel Lowe. 8 home runs, 34 RBIs, hitting .224 with Washington. Washington's out of it. That's a .681 OPS. It's not great. He's 29 years old. But last year in Texas, he had 16 home runs, knocked in 69, had a .762 OPS. And his last 4 years, 18, 27, 17, and 16 home runs. And he has a .781 career OPS with 97 home runs. Look, I'm not saying he's great, and I'm not saying the options are great. They're not. They suck. But you cannot just sit there as a team contending for a wild card. Well, you can. You can do whatever the hell you want. But I'm just saying, because I haven't heard anybody really call this out. They're calling out Willy Adames finally now. But, I mean, Lamont Wade Jr. is a joke. Hitting a buck 60 a third of the way into the season, like, that's not early. We're through April. We're through May. June, July, August, September. I mean, we're a third of the way through this thing. We're 2 months into this thing. I know Buster Posey, the trade deadline is the end of July, but you can't just sit there. You can't just sit there and allow a guy hitting 160 and their lineup so bad he's hitting sixth. He hit sixth yesterday. Love of God. Love of God. And this all stems from Patrick Bailey. I wouldn't even care if Patrick Bailey, given his defensive abilities and pitch framing and all those kind of things before the Robo-Umps get here, he could hit 176. If you had a decent hitting first baseman, if Willy Adames didn't suck the way he sucked so far in the first third of the season, I'm fine with Fitzgerald. Matt Chapman's going to be fine. This is a good offensive outfield. It's above average with Jung-Hoo Lee and Ramos and Yastrzemski. That's not a bad offense. It's not a bad offensive outfield. It's one of the best in baseball. And third base will be fine, and second base will be fine. I'm getting to the point where I'm not sure if, you know, I keep waiting. I keep saying to myself, is Adames going to come around? I'm not saying yet that it's a mistake, the contract, but what I am saying is that I keep waiting for him to come around, and we're a third of the way through the season, so he doesn't necessarily have to come around. I think he's going to. Bob Melvin said he was pressing yesterday. So anyway, let me hit a couple more of these supers, and then we'll get more into this. Sorry, I went on a rant right out of the gate. That's a good call right there, Fuji. When Bailey and Wade hit above 200, we party. If both of those guys go over 200, yeah, we'll go on the air. That's what we'll do. That's a great point by you, Fuji. We'll go on the air and do a live show, and we'll just drink beers and shots if they go above the Mendoza line. One's at 176 and one's at 161, 162, something like that. I bet Bozy could play first and hit at least 190. You know what's funny that you say that, Fuji? Thanks for that. That's a great call by you. Is it so? I'm on, like I said, I was on Channel 4 last night with Scott Reese on Cron, and we start talking about, you know, first base and what the hell they're going to do. And I was so mad that I didn't bring this up, and he did. He goes, "What about Buster?" And he was dead serious. He's like, "Is Buster the best first baseman in the organization?" And I was like, "Yeah, he is. Don't give me Bryce Eldridge yet. He can't even play the position in his, you know, what's he in, double A still trying to come back? Buster Posey's the best first baseman in the organization. How pathetic is that? When did he retire? Like 3-4 years ago? Buster Posey, if they could activate Buster Posey, I'm 100% convinced he wouldn't be hitting 160-something. I guarantee he'd be a better offensive player than what Lamont Wade Jr. is. And it's not like Lamont Wade Jr. is a gold glove first baseman. I'm not saying that Buster would be great in that regard, but you're not in the squat. At least you're at first base. And I'm not saying it's an easy position because first basemen get pissed, like Dr. JT Snow, and try to say that it's easy. It's not easy. But from an offensive standpoint, there's no doubt in my mind that Buster Posey would. I'm being 100% dead serious. 100% in my mind that the best first baseman in the organization is actually the head of baseball operations, Buster Posey. He's the best first baseman. Could he activate himself? Could he at least play a little? Could he DH so that Wilmer Flores could play first base? I'm being dead serious, man. I just read you those names. Nathaniel Lowe, you know, Trey Mancini, James Outman, Garrett Cooper, Mike Ford. Any interest in those guys or Buster Posey? Like, that's who's available. Now batting. Designated hitter, number 28, Buster Posey. Who would you have rather have had up in the ninth inning yesterday? Buster, actually, like a Rich Eisen. You know, Rich Eisen runs the 40 and like in a suit with, you know, I think he does put on tennis shoes now. I mean, I would have rather have had Buster Posey come literally walk down from a suite with his suit on and hit instead of Lamont Wade Jr. And I think we would have had a better result. That's really bad. But when you're hitting a buck 60, my God, I mean, am I off? I would love to see that. I don't think I'm off. I don't think I'm wrong. Buster Posey's the best first baseman in the Giants organization. All right. Offensive offense. Let's get to some of these things. I started on kind of a rant here, but let me get to some of these things. That's Adames. Giants pitching. This is how bad it is right here. Look at this. This is from NBC Sports Bay Area after the game. Laura Britt is awesome. With Sean Estes, one of my favorites. Offense, first through the sixth since May 9th, pretty much last in everything. I mean, you can just see there. Look at the, oh my God, on-base percentage, 273, OPS, 605, runners in scoring position. Isn't this a thing? Don't we do this every year? Runners in scoring position, Giants runners in scoring position, 193, 103 with two outs, which is just brutal. So that's what the offense is doing. As far as that goes, Willy Adames, and I don't know who this is, Brian, but I did double check this. And since he came up at first, I checked it. This is accurate, but I wanted to give him credit. I don't know who this is, but 2 for 32, 063, 20 runners left on base, 9 strikeouts. It's just the, you know, the pitching. And he says, did they make a mistake? I'm not going to go so far as to say they made a mistake in paying Willy Adames, but let me share my screen with you as I am often wont to do and just show you a little bit on Willy Adames. I don't know. My voice is breaking up here for a second. That's career stats. Here's Willy Adames. So here's what gives you a little bit of what's the word I'm looking for? Just say, wait a minute, man. Let's not freak out just quite yet on Willy Adames, right? Is that you're looking at this thing going, okay, well, there's a track record here of Willy Adames. I mean, look, they bought high. I mean, there's no question. Look right there, 32, 112 RBIs, they bought high. 794 OPS, pretty good. Before that, I mean, at this point, see, this is what scares me right here. I would take that in a heartbeat, and I'm not sure if he's going to get there. 24-80 with a .217 batting average, .717. He might get to that point. I don't think he's getting to 31 home runs or 98 RBIs. So that's not going to be him. Maybe that could be him this year. But, I mean, here's a guy right here. This is just in 2021. I mean, he hit .285. He had an .886 OPS. I mean, it, you know, that's not bad. You know, you're looking right there when he went to Milwaukee in the middle of that season, hit .285. You know, again, 25 home runs right there. You know, 20 home runs. So, I mean, this guy has been, it's not like they looked at last year and said 32 home runs, 112 RBIs. Oh my God, guy's awesome. .251. So, I mean, he's not going to be a .300 hitter, but I mean, he's hitting .205 with a .617 OPS. Well, they could have done that themselves. Thank you very much. Now, to be fair to the guy, 54 games, 236 plate appearances, 210 at bats. Last year, he had 610 at bats. So we're a third of the way into the season. He's a third of the way into the bats, basically, of what he had last year. How much can Willy Adames turn around? I would take right there. If you told me right now, and he's not on pace to do any of these things, if we're a third of the way in, he's on pace basically for 15 home runs and 75 RBIs. So give me 24-80, .217 batting average if we could get that up just a little bit. And that OPS is 100 points higher than what he is hitting right now, and that's 2 years ago in Milwaukee. So it's not lovely. It's not lovely. And then let me show you this one more time. Let me show you one other thing real quick. Let me share my screen with you one more time because let me do this real quick because there's another one that I want to show you about splits and so forth this year because it's not really – you know what's funny is you would have thought you'd be looking at Willy Adames and you would have thought, okay, well, it's – see, hold on. I got a bunch of Willy Adames things open up here, so I got to make sure I get the right one. I think that's the right one, or is that the one I just showed you? I did splits. Oh, here. Yeah, this is right. So here's the thing. Okay, maybe Willie's getting better, right? Maybe Willy Adames, I just showed you, he's not. Last 7 days, .087. Last 14, .156. And then the last month, he's hitting .208. He is showing a little bit of power. He has the four home runs in the last month, so at least he's showing that. But it's not like he's getting better. And then you're like, okay, where is he struggling? You know, where is he exactly struggling? Well, left-handed pitching, which there's not a ton of it, but left-handed pitching for Willy Adames. Look at that. I mean, he has 8 hits all season long against left-handed pitching. So left-handed pitching is struggling, and you'd think he'd be struggling at home. You think to yourself, well, you know, it's in his head. He's struggling at home. He's not. He's struggling away. Well, he's struggling both. But he's hitting .174 away in 109 at-bats. 2 home runs, and then he goes home, and it's, you know, it's not awesome, but at least at home, he has a .712 OPS. On the road, he has a .529. So what I was thinking I was going to see was that Willy Adames, clearly it's getting into his head, home splits, he's going to be terrible. He's not going to be hitting at home. He's hitting .174 on the road. Like, dude, .174 on the road, those are the parks that you hit in. You were in the National League last year. And we've got the balanced scheduling the way that we've got it. So you've hit in all these ballparks before. If you were struggling at home, I can understand that. It's not great. I mean, it's a .712 OPS. It's not great. But, I mean, he's 200 points lower almost on the road. So I don't know what's going on the road. I mean, that's a stark contrast on the road. And all the numbers, .238 to .174, the OPS is down almost 200 points. So, I mean, he's struggling everywhere. You're like, okay, where is he struggling? Okay, left-handed pitching on the road. Again, the game of Clue. Left-handed pitching on the road with the wrench in the library. However you split this whole thing, it just sucks. It's terrible. It's absolutely brutal. Now, here's the thing, and I just started out with this, and we're going to go in reverse order. You got to do something about first base. It's not going to be Buster Posey. I get it. I'm just kind of sort of kidding about that. But here's the problem offensively now. Bailey's not going to hit, and they're not taking him out of the lineup. He's too valuable defensively. Lamont Wade Jr. plays a power position, and even when he's right, he's walking, and it pisses you off, especially in RBI spots. Tyler Fitzgerald has turned out to be a nice player. Willie Adames has been a complete bomb. We know what Matt Chapman brings to the table defensively, up and down, up and down, up and down. And then the offense is great in the outfield. And from a DH standpoint, when Wilmer's in there, what the hell else can you ask from Wilmer? So catcher is absolutely sticking out, but that's not going to change. So it's first base and shortstop right now. It's Willie Adames. And the big question with Willie Adames is, did they make a mistake, right? Giant mistake. That's what I put up on the board to start the show. Did they make a giant mistake? I'm not willing to go there because we're talking about 200 at-bats in a third of the season. But at this point, I would say if Willie Adames can get to 20 home runs and 80 RBIs, I would consider that successful given what he's done to this point. And I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what kind of work they're doing. Bob's going to get asked about this again and again and again. Here is Bob Melvin postgame on Willie Adames' struggles. He had a terrible ninth inning at bat.
He hasn't gotten off to the start that he wants to, and I think – you tend to try to do a little too much sometimes when you get in big RBI situations. I mean, he's kind of known for that. He had a ton of three-run homers last year, so it's going to come.
See, that's the part where I'm just not sure, and that's why I wanted to cut it off. He talked a little bit more about Adames, but he said he's pressing. Okay, I can buy that. That's what everybody says when a guy is struggling when he comes over and he signed a big contract. He's pressing. He's trying to do too much. Okay, I'll buy your excuse for a minute here. And he talked about the three-run home runs. He talked about how he's been good with runners in scoring position. We always talk about the Giants struggling with runners in scoring position. But the last part of what Bob Melvin said there, I'm starting to doubt it. It's going to come. Is it? Is it going to come? Because 2 years ago, he hit 217, had a 717 OPS, which is below league average, even though he had 24 home runs and knocked in about 80. And at this point, if you told me right now I could have Willie Adames' season from 2 years ago where he hit 217 with 20 home runs and 80 RBIs, I'd have no choice but to say yes. He's been a complete bomb to this point. He's been terrible. I don't care what the excuse is. I don't care if it's pressing, this, that, or the other. What's so weird about it is he's not great at home, but he's atrocious on the road. So what's the excuse? It's not the ballpark. Willie Adames must be pressing. It must be the ballpark. He should have never signed there. It's Oracle Park. It's not Oracle Park. I mean, you just saw his numbers aren't great there. But on the road, he's hitting 174 with a 529 OPS. He's pressing on the road? Like, what for? There's nobody booing him, and we're the nicest people ever. It's okay, Willie. It's fine. This team doesn't just throw out big contracts. And Willie Adames, even though it's a major market team, if he stinks throughout this contract, they're going to hesitate. When Buster Posey goes in, I know that Willie Adames didn't work out, but I need money for this guy. We're not so sure. The Dodgers, they'll eat it. The Yankees, they'll eat it. The Giants won't. So if they make a mistake and a guy like Willie Adames, it's going to hurt this franchise for years because they're going to go, oh, they're going to get scared. They're going to get nervous. They're going to have PTSD. They're going, whoa, 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 whoa. We gave him all that money, and he's not doing anything. So, no. Unless you can move that guy, we're not doing another big contract like that, Buster. Sorry, we're not going to help the offense. We're not going to do that. We're not going to So that's a double-edged sword situation where it's like, okay, not only is Willie Adames not producing, but now the front office, the people who have the purse strings, all of a sudden it's like, well, we're not signing another guy like that. Finally, an offensive guy says, okay, I'll sign on the dotted line. And then he does this. Then we're all excited. Willie Adames is going to be a Giant. Woo! And then this is the way he hits. We're a third of the way into the season. So I'm not going to overreact to it, but I'm going to react accordingly. I'm going to react in an urgent nature, which is he has sucked. What he'll do the rest of the season, I don't know. But we're so nice as a market. In New York, in Boston, in Philly, this dude would be getting it. He'd be getting the business, and it's all they talk about. But it's time, a third of the way into the season. We gave you a third of the way. And absolutely, it's highlighted by the fact that Lamont Wade Jr. at first base has been atrocious, and the team does nothing about it. Put him in the minors. Another set of eyes. Something. You cannot have a 160 hitting first baseman and a bomb of a shortstop And as good as Patrick Mailey is defensively, a 176 hitting catcher, you can't do it. You will not stay in contention. And here's what sucks about it. The pitching is great. It's definitely good enough from the starting rotation, and I think we'll get better. This is the best bullpen in baseball, and you're wasting it. This is the best bullpen in baseball. This doesn't often happen. The starting pitching, you have two studs. Logan Webb and Robbie Ray could be all-stars. That's your first two. I'll say that yesterday Birdsong left a little bit to be desired. In fact, let me play Birdsong for you. This is post-game. He wasn't horrible yesterday, but he's still adjusting to the starting rotation. So I'm praying, honestly, as part of my prayers every night, that they give Hayden Birdsong time, the time that they gave Jordan Hicks, because he's got to adjust to starting. This is not an excuse. This is an explanation. He ran out of gas. I mean, you saw it. And here's the thing that's encouraging about yesterday's outing. Let's be honest. He didn't have his fastball command yesterday, and yet still did what he did, kept him in a game, and the offense never came around. Here's Hayden Birdsong after the game.
Tired. I think I threw too much in my bullpen, but at the same time, I'm obviously ramping back up to be a starter, so it was all right, and I'm happy I got through four pretty clean ones, and the fifth one obviously got out of hand. I was couldn't find my pitches, but it's all right.
You feeling that one, you got the two on?
Yeah, I was tired and couldn't land stuff when I needed to, and it was just kind of, I don't know. I just couldn't feel anything.
How are you feeling leading up to that point?
I feel good. I was landing my curveball, which I was happy about. Fastball was there, and changeup, I just got to get it down. But everything felt pretty good.
What did you think of Bailey's frame job on the curveball to Bias?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what he does, and Javi got a little upset, but that was just kind of funny. But he did a great job back there and called a good game. I just got to execute a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree with him 100%. It's not an excuse. It's an explanation that he got tired, but still. He did not have fastball command. He had bite on the curveball at times. The guy, you can just tell by his maturity. I've told you this before in speaking to him at the ballpark on occasions, and we had him on the radio show live right there, and I got a chance to talk to him off the air. I mean, you can tell the kid does not get rattled. He's 23. He does not get rattled. I just hope they don't do, and you see this all the time in professional sports, a young guy, you know, it's happened to Kuminga, it happened to Wiseman, and I'm not saying these guys would have been anything, and I think Kuminga still got a chance, but certain guys, they start looking over at the sidelines, and in this case of the pitcher, they start looking in the dugout, and then the organization decides, let's just go with a veteran, heck with it, we're just not going to go through it. You know, we're a wild card type of team, we just won't go through it. Well, they'll give Lamont Wade Jr. forever at first base, but if this guy doesn't do it right out of the gate, talking about Birdsong, then he's out of the rotation. You've got to sit down with him, I think, because he is your number three starter. He's got the stuff. He didn't even pitch great yesterday, and he kept him right in that game. And Bivens came in, and as great as the bullpen has been, he needed to stop the bleeding right there. He couldn't do it. Eric Miller yesterday. Miller needed to stop the bleeding. He couldn't do it. And he's been great all year long. I'm not bashing the guy in the bullpen's number one in baseball, so you can't really bash the guys, but it would have been nice. If he could have got out of the inning, they would have kept him down to one run. It was 3-0. They came back. They scratched out one run, and then they lose the game 3-1. So I'm not ripping Birdsong. It's just the thing is I have high expectations for the guy. And I think once he gets into a rhythm of pitching every 5 days and he's a starter and he really gets stretched out, he goes, 75, 80 pitches the first game? I think it was 80 pitches. He goes 90 here, and then I think he's going to be on the ramp, and I think he's going to be fine. So he's got to get down there because, like you said, he got tired, and I hate that excuse. But he said he got tired. He isn't quite stretched out to where he's going to be. And when he gets fastball command, I mean, the guy consistently throws 96, 98. And then he's got the bite on some of the pitches that he had. And Phil, he wasn't, I don't think, taking full advantage of Phil Cuzzi, the home plate umpire, which I went on a rant earlier if you missed it. There's only one strike zone. There's not a high one, low one, left, right, whatever. Mike Kruko before the game was like, Phil Cuzzi has a big strike zone. There's only one strike zone, dude. It's not open to interpretation. You can't just take the strike zone and make it your strike zone. That's not how it works. Bring on the Robo-Umps. But you saw at the end there what Hayden Birdsong said, and he kind of smirked when he said it. Like, yeah, Patrick Bailey stole that strike. Javi Lopez lost his mind, gets kicked out of the game. But I don't blame Javi Lopez in that situation. It's like there's one strike zone, and you don't get to move it and change it. Now, Patrick Bailey did a great job, but Patrick Bailey hitting 176 when they get robo umps. I know he throws out a ton of runners. I know he blocks a lot of pitches. I know he's a great defensive player, but his number one claim to fame and the whole reason that he cannot be replaced, he could hit 076, let alone 176, because he frames pitches the way that he does, he's not going anywhere, which means Adames at short stick out, and I don't know what they're doing, honestly, with Lamont Wade Jr. I have no explanation. I would love to give you one, but I don't have one. It doesn't make any sense. We're a third of the way into the season. The guy should be, if he's not DFA'd, okay, you like the guy and you still think he has upside. Okay, you're not going to DFA the guy. I get it. There's not a lot of talent out there, and he would be picked up by somebody. And I gave you a roster of Trey Mancini's and guys in the minor leagues who you don't want. I understand that. But at some point, then, rather than bang your head against the wall every single day, he's got to go somewhere and get someone else to look at his swing. Or just take 2 weeks off and get with, maybe it's mental at this point. You know, we all go into those kind of mental funks. I don't know. Go sit with the sports psychologist for a couple of weeks and just take some time off, man. Something. Because he's in a really bad space right now. So that's the Giant side of things. Let me just give you one thing. Oh, let me throw up the pitching real quick, because this is Shane Rubin, who does a great job with the Chronicle. Best bullpen, 251 ERA, a 199 opposing average. Rodriguez, Duvall, Miller, Rogers. So I can't complain about the bullpen. It's been amazing. My point about the bullpen is they're wasting it. You don't get this every year. You don't get four relievers like this. And that's not even Ryan Walker, who's going to be good by the end of the season. You don't get a bunch of relievers like this pitching like this. Don't waste it. The Mariners last year had the best rotation in baseball, wasted it. This is the best pen in baseball. And this rotation, especially with Birdsong, if he gets regular spots, and then you get Verlander back to maybe be a four, this could be a good rotation, top 10, top 15 rotation with this bullpen. That's a playoff team if the offense is decent, just decent. Now I'm going to throw something out there that I don't even like to throw out there because everyone's going to go, Lund said this and Lund said that, but I'm just going to, I with no bias, I throw this out there. This is Marco Luciano last night.
Six in the night tonight, and Luciano just unloaded again. Oh my goodness, this one way gone. I think it cleared the ballpark.
All right, so Luciano right now, just for the heck of it, because this might be somebody that they just give a chance to. Now look, he's not great this year. You look at Luciano, 222, 9 home runs, 29 RBIs with a 766 OPS. That's a lot better than Lamont Wade. Now, he doesn't play first base. I understand that. Minor league career, 253. Not great. 811 OPS, not terrible. With 74 home runs, and then you look at the majors, 217. No home runs, 3 RBIs, 590. We are well beyond the when, if, whatever. Marco Luciano, we talked about him for years and years and years and years and years. Hit 2 home runs last night. 9, not bad. Not all, but there's no position for him. But just for the sake of conversation, again, you've got to get creative here. Buster Posey, unfortunately, who's the best first baseman in the organization, is not going to come down and take off the suit and put on 28 again. But why not put Wilmer Flores at first base? Not great defensively, I get it, but he's hitting. But Wilmer Flores at first base. And just for the hell of it, see if Marco Luciano has anything for you and put him and have him be your DH. Because he's a DH. I mean, he's too young for it, but he's a DH. Why not? What's it going to hurt? Is he going to have worse at-bats than Lamont Wade Jr.? We're solution-based on this show. I'm not saying it's the best solution ever, but I just read you a bunch of names from the minor leagues, veteran guys, Trey Mancini, Mike Ford, Garrett Cooper. That's what's out there right now. You trade until July 31st. How about you give us, your top three prospects for Rhys Hoskins? Buster's not going to do that. Now, as we get later in the month of June, could he pull something off? Potentially. And you got to pray for Brewers losses because everybody's kind of in it now with 3 wild card teams on each side. So that's the downside to that. You love it. Yeah, they have my teams in it. Yeah, the downside is nobody wants to trade. Unless you're Colorado or Pittsburgh or something like that at this point, nobody wants to trade. And if they do want to trade with you, they want your first, second, third born. So that's kind of it. So anyway, what are you going to do? So I don't know. I'm sure there's better options out there, but right now, if I'm the Giants, I got to sit around a big mahogany table right now and go, okay, it's not going to be Trey Mancini, but could Luciano DH and have Wilmer play first base? I mean, you got to get creative here. I can guarantee you they probably somebody brought up, Buster, you sure you can't play first base? Are you sure you can't play first base? Like, they got to get desperate here. With the way Adames is not hitting, with what's going on at first base, you're going to keep your catcher. You're in the wild card race, man. And you don't have time to wait. We're a third of the way into the season. Let's just assume the Dodgers are what the Dodgers are. But the East has three playoff teams to me. The Mets are a playoff team. The Braves are going to be a playoff team and or are going to contend for it. And the Phillies, as of yesterday, I didn't check the standings this morning, were the best team in the National League. That's from that division. And the Cubs are the Cubs. They have a great offense. They'll probably make a move as a major market team. St. Louis isn't going away. Cincinnati's kind of hanging around. The Brewers are kind of hanging around. And then your division's a big pain in the ass. Beyond the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks and the Padres are going to be there. So that's a lot of teams that you have to deal with, and you're just going to sit and watch first base be an absolute dumpster fire? Can't wait. I understand 10% into the season, 20% of the season, 25% of the season. We're a third into the season. Got to do something about it. So I just threw out Luciano. Yeah. I don't love it. All right, there it is on the baseball front. We did about 40 minutes on the baseball front, 45 minutes on the baseball front. Give me your thoughts on the Giants. What could they do? What should they do? What would you do? You're Buster. Would you come down and play first base? Would you give Luciano a shot? Any of those minor league names I threw out there? Or would you just keep doing what they're doing, banging their head against the wall and praying that Lamont Wayne Jr. is going to come around? What would you do? Let's see. And are you? Oh, the other question is: are you panicked on Willie Adames? I am not. I am not panicked on Willie Adames. But my expectations, at least for this first season, they're down a little bit. I didn't think he was going to hit 32 home runs, knock in 112. Those were career high numbers for him. My expectations for Willie Adames offensively coming into this park, and again, that's not where he's struggling. He's struggling on the road. Struggling both, but more on the road. Hitting 174 with a 529 OPS on the road is Adames. But coming into the season, I thought, okay, what's realistic for him? I don't know, he's a consistent 20 home run guy. So I was thinking, okay, he hits 20 home runs, knocks in 80, and hits 250, 260, and plays decent defense. And that's the other side of it. He's not playing good defense either. He's a problem defensively. So yeah, it's both sides. Not good. All right. There you go. Give me your thoughts. What should they do? You can always hit me on the comments here or at John Lund Radio on X. Make sure, by the way, before we move on to some Niners stuff and Vic Tafer's piece that I want to talk about, this is a good time to tell you, remember, you're watching on YouTube, probably, John Lund Unleashed. Make sure that you're subscribed. Hit that like button today, please, and make sure that your alerts are on. We're also on the Bay Area Sports Collective. You see that big B in the corner there. That's my show, Tom Tolbert, Polly Mack, and Creative Tony, which is Polly Mack's Particles. That's going to be out at 11 o'clock on the Bay Area Sports Collective. We have added Amy G, who's got a great podcast talking about women in media, which is awesome. Jeremy Alfeld, former Giant, who is hilarious and tells great stories about the good old days. Great podcast that he's got and YouTube show. And we've added Rod Brooks and Quality Hang, Rod Brooks and Friends and Quality Hang. So make sure that you are subscribed to not only John Lund Unleashed, but to the Bay Area Sports Collective as well. So we would appreciate that. All right, as far as the 49ers are concerned, I write OTAs and 49ers. So this week, I'll be heading down there. I'll give you some interviews, insights, things like that. So I'll head down to 49ers this week. Just wanted to give you a heads up on that. As far as this piece, I want to read this with you, our good friend Vic Tafer, and I told you I got to get Vic on this week. He's going to be busy, but we got to see if we can get Vic on this week because he's the best. But he wrote a piece about Jake Moody. Let me get this thing. Don't tell me I did not put this thing. Oh, here it is right here. So he writes a piece on Jake Moody, and I think it's interesting. This is, again, the great Vic Tafer, covered the Raiders for years, is back. David Lombardi went to SF Standard, I think, and then Vic took his place. So he and Matt Barros are doing the Athletic side of things. That is a great combo, by the way. Great. So in the Athletic today, 49ers Jake Moody aims to trade distance for action with new kicking approach. So, you know, he goes down on this thing, and you know this story. Here's what he says. It's been going great. Obviously, when you have been doing something since the sixth grade, it was definitely challenging. It's starting to keep telling myself to stick with it, blah, blah, blah. He goes through everything. The special teams coach, of course, he's going to say nice things about him. Brant Boyer, love the guy, love him, love him, love him. And then you go down to the numbers. Moody connected, you know this, on 13 of his first 14 before he tried to make that tackle in week 5. of course, because special teams was the bane of everyone's existence last year. And then blah, 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 missed. There it is right there. Missed kicks in his first game back. I remember that. During the 40-34 loss to the Lions, missed two field goals, extra points. You do the math. Unacceptable, blah, blah, blah. Let me get to the part where this is where I think it's really interesting. Okay, so here's his kicking coach, okay? Moody, blah, 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 kicking coach. There it is right there. Brandon Kornbluh. They've been together since Moody was in middle school, the usual ball contact drills, and their changes. They started – here's right here. This is where I wanted to get to. Jeez, it took me a long time. They've been together since Moody was in middle school, and the usual ball contact drill soon turned into something else. They started tweaking his stance and how far back he was from the ball, then and they got rid of his third jab step. The coach says you have to be careful when you change something like that because he'd been so successful for so long with the three steps. Kornbluh thinks that while most young kickers use three steps, blah, blah, blah. I really don't care about any of that stuff. Here's what I care about. They're changing. Okay, that's good enough. Great piece. Read Vic. He's the best. We're going to get him on this week. So there's a piece right now in The Athletic. Read the whole thing. I don't want to steal the whole thing because that wouldn't be nice to them. All right, here's my point in Jake Moody. He can change all the technique things that he wants, and I don't really need to get into the technique of kicking, nor do you. Hell, Kyle Shanahan doesn't. It either goes through the uprights or it doesn't. Don't tell me, you know, what's the old adage about, you know, how the baby's born? Just, you know, I just want to see the finished product. I just want to see the ball going through the uprights. There's an additional amount of pressure on Jake Moody because he was a third-round pick. It was a sandwich pick between the third and the fourth. Whatever. It was a third-round pick to me and somebody that they could have used on this roster as depth right now. A third-round pick at one time was Fred Warner. That's pretty good. 70th overall pick, third round. They took Jake Moody around 100. So, look, that's not a fair comparison. I understand that. Point is that third-round players come in all the time and are quality players in this league. So it's not like you picked him up as a seventh-rounder. It's not like you picked him up as a free agent. You took him in the third round, which – for this organization who's done so well in those rounds, that's a starting caliber player potentially on your team when you need cheap labor that can play. So it's not like they did nothing to get Jake Moody. I hate taking kickers in the third round. If you've watched the show or if you listen to me on KNBR with any regularity, I was doing the draft show, and right when they did the pick, I went, no! And then Kyle Shanahan opened up the door from next door where the draft room is, opened up the door and said, I wanted a running back. Like he, you know, it was split, I'm sure, in that room with Jake Moody, but they took Jake Moody. Now, New England, about, I don't know, 20, 30 picks later in the fourth round, took Chad Ryland. Ryland's gone from New England to Arizona. It takes a minute. And that's where my concern lies. I've talked to Joe Nedney, the former 49ers kicker, and it takes a minute to understand the stadiums and wind patterns and all the different things. And then it gets mentally into your head, and you got to get past that. And a lot of kickers, they'll have success if they are drafted. They'll have success with maybe the second or the third team. It takes time. I don't know that. Joe Nedney has told me that. But you can just see it. There's pressure on a third-round pick. And to me, they can change all the technique they want. And whether I understand the technique and you're getting rid of this last jab step and turning this and doing that, I don't really care. I'm kind of like you. I don't care. Does it go through the uprights or does it not? Does the kid have leg strength? Yeah. Does the kid have balls and mental capability? Yeah. I was at the Super Bowl in Las Vegas when he kicked 250-plus yard field goals in the friggin' Super Bowl. So the guy can do it. But what I'm worried about is, okay, so they work on all these things, and I guarantee you this, that in the offseason, before he even kicked a ball and worked with this Coach Kornbluh guy, that he worked with a sports psychologist more than anything else, because that's what kicking is. The guy has accuracy. The guy has leg strength. The guy has all this stuff. But it's a mental game now. And here's my concern. Change all you want. Do all you want. Whatever. Bring in all the, you know, the competition that you want to bring in. I don't think Greg Joseph is real competition. I don't think that the kid who won the Lou Groza, the big, he's like 240-pound kicker from Louisiana. I don't think that's a real competition. I think that you bring in somebody, like, I don't think Nick Folk's been signed. That's an older kicker, but he gives me vibes. He gives me vibes where Kyle Shanahan might be able to say, like Robbie Gould, he's good from 53 and in, and that's what Kyle wants. It's going to drive Kyle crazy to have you hit a 58-yarder, you miss a 41-yarder. You cannot do that for any team, let alone the 49ers, who are just – he's so meticulous in the way that he's planning. Okay, we'll make this one. It's a major problem. So my point in saying all these things is change all the technique you want. But the biggest thing that Jake Moody, and only he can answer this question, how did you work with the sports psychologist? What did you learn? How are you going to apply that to making kicks? Because here's the biggest problem to me, and I don't care if it's preseason. I don't care if it's regular season. I don't care if it's playoffs. Whatever the case may be, once he misses a kick, and if it's at home, he's going to get the business, man. It's going to be loud. The boos are going to be raining down. So let's say it's that they play, I think they play the Raiders, Chargers, and Broncos in the preseason. You miss the first kick of the preseason. It's a 39-yarder. It's wide right. All that, to me, all that psychology is gone. And I don't know if Jake Moody can recover from it. I just don't. He was so bad at the end of last year, and the inconsistencies drive you crazy. And they're beyond the point now where, well, wait a minute, in these conversations, but he was a third-round pick. Does not matter. Doesn't matter. And I hesitate to think just because he was a third-round pick, here's where he would get the advantage to me, is that if these other two kickers kick better than him, will the 49ers really pull the plug on Jake Moody? Because someone's going to pick him up, and I think he's going to have a weight off his shoulders. You know, he's a third-round pick, but for a kicker, that's like being a first-round pick. I'm not saying he's Sebastian Janikowski, but what I'm saying is that these kickers who get picked early, it was York, the kid from Cleveland, was a third-rounder. There was a kid in Tampa that was a second-rounder. You know, they get this pressure heaped on their shoulders because by the very fact that they were picked. And so a lot of times it can be to that second or that third team where it's like, I'm just any old kicker now. I don't have the expectations of being saddled with a pick around my neck, and I can go and relax. And again, I've been told that by kickers. I don't know anything about kicking. I don't know anything about the psychology of kicking. I've just been told like it takes a minute around the league to understand the wind patterns, to do all these things, to understand all the things that are going on. And due to the fact that you had a pick saddled around your neck, pisses people off. So look, does the guy have kicking talent? I'm not doubting that. Does he have leg strength? I'm not doubting that. Greg and I used to get in battles all the time because, yo, you should have saw him in practice. You should have saw him in practice. There's no pressure in practice, man. What's the pressure in practice? That they got to run some laps or, you know, whatever the case may be? That's not real pressure. But I did see him in the Super Bowl make a couple, so I'm like, well, maybe this guy's good. We talk an inordinate amount of time about the kicker, and that's not good. The kicker, like an offensive lineman, should not be discussed and should not be talked about. It's bad for ratings as far as I'm concerned, but we talk about the kicker so much because, especially given the 49ers and the way that the gap is closed, when they were really, really good, it's not like they didn't need to make kicks. They did. But the closer the margin gets to the rest of the NFC West, and it's close, and these games that you should win, but you missed a kick here, you missed a kick there, you missed an extra point here, you missed an extra point there. And now Kyle Shanahan in the back of his head is like, can I rely on this guy? And that's a major problem when his big thing was, okay, Robbie Gould's not going to give me the leg, but 53 and in, we're getting three. And I can count on that as I'm kind of trying to surmise what this game is going to be about and plan and all those kind of things. So, look, it's a great piece. You should read it. I'll give Jake Moody the benefit of the doubt. But the part that scares me is as I read that thing and talked about the physical things that he's changing, I really don't care. I don't think it was a physical thing. You know, he can kick it out of the end zone. He can boot 58 to 60 yarders. Can you hit a 38? Can you hit a 41? Can you hit, you know, can you do those things? Or do I have to hear a doing off the, you know, off the upright and then some excuse of why he missed the kick? I don't want to hear that. And if he misses in preseason, the boos will rain down. And will that undo all of the good, you know, sports psychology he did in the offseason? We won't know. That's the biggest problem. He can kick his ass off in practice. He always does. Kick it through the end zone, kick 50, 60 yarders. He does that all the time in practice. I don't care about practice. Not, I don't care about it at all, other than an injury. But he can kick and kick and kick, and oh, he won the job. And then the first kick, if he misses it, ugh, it's all undone. So that's a problem. And we won't know until it happens. That's the biggest problem of the whole thing. So anyway, we'll have more from 49ers HQ later this week. Make sure that you are subscribed. Make sure that you have your alerts on because I'll be heading down and we'll be talking to players, coaches, and the such, and we'll bring in some stuff for you. This is a good point. Moody got tired of Debo looking over his shoulder. Yeah, maybe that won't hurt when you have to have the long snapper defend you and you're getting in fights in the sidelines. That probably didn't help. That probably didn't help his psychology. I'm just thinking that probably didn't help his psychology, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Maybe that. No, it didn't. It did not. So anyway, there's the latest on Jake Moody. And again, read Vic's piece. It's a great piece. I'm simply saying that, unfortunately for a kicker, it's psychology. And we won't know until he misses a kick of whether, okay, I'm still fine. I'm going to go through these exercises that my sports psychologist told me about and blah, 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 blah. So there's the latest on the 49ers. Vic on Moody is where we are on the chalkboard today, episode 151. We went through the Giants offensive offense. Panic on Adamus. Hit me your comments underneath. I am not going to panic on Willie Adamus yet. We are 200 at bats or so into his contract. I'm not going to panic, but there's a sense of urgency and he's on my radar. Let's just put it like that. Pitching and Birdsong, he's still got to get stretched out a little bit. That's not an excuse. You can say it is because I've been on the Birdsong train for a long time, but I'm encouraged. He didn't have great fastball command yesterday, and yet he had the Giants in the game. What can they do offensively? I just read you a bunch of minor league first basemen who are out there that are veterans. I'm not excited. The best first baseman in the Giants organization is Buster Posey. No, he's not taking off his suit to play. this is a great question. Where is it? Right here. Will you report live from Chick-fil-A in Santa Clara? I got to try to stay away from that place. I'm trying to lose weight, just a little bit of an aside here, and we'll get back to stuff. Dom, I'm trying to lose weight. And so what I'm doing is, if I seem crankier than normal, and I do have gone off on a couple of tangents the last couple of days, is that I'm not eating until, the last meal is at 8. I'm doing the 16-hour fast, which shouldn't be that hard. Last meal is no later than 8, and I eat usually earlier than that. We eat maybe at 5 or 6, but I'll do, you know, healthy snack, lots of water, whatever, until 8 is the cutoff point. I can do water, but 8 is the cutoff point. And then I cannot eat until noon. And so what are we Pacific time? We're about 9:30 Pacific time. I have my handy dandy big orange water thing, and I have no food at all. And so it's challenging. It's going to be challenging for the first week, but then you get used to it. And I've fasted before, done the 16-hour fast. I cannot recommend it highly enough, because what's great about it is, as long as you don't junk food out, you know, as long as you're not, you know, you're like, I'm not a sugar fiend. I'm not a sweets fiend, anything like that. But when you do eat, you just eat responsibly, lots of protein, things like that. You don't go crazy. Your portions are smaller, but you can pretty much, if you don't go crazy, you can eat what you want as long as it's not junky. So I could go out and eat a couple of, you know, a la carte, nice tacos or something. Like, I'm a junkie for tacos. I'm a junkie man. Like taco, you know, just it's fine. A couple of, you know, chicken tacos with good protein, you know, don't gob a bunch of sour cream and guacamole and all that kind of stuff on it. A little guacamole, people are like, that's healthy fat. It's like, yeah, but not a glob like this. Like, you know, everything in moderation, right? If I do that, then I'll be fine. But my point is not telling you about my diet. The cranky portion of the 16-hour fast, the 8 on, 16 off fast, is like the first 10 days. And if I can get through the first 10 days, which I'm going to because it's pool season, and we got a pool in my backyard. And it's like, I had a nightmare last night. If Skills is in the room, I didn't, but I'm just going to say that I did. A nightmare last night that, like, you know, all of my wife's attractive friends and her, and, you know, she's attractive and all this stuff. And here I come walking out like Jabba the Hutt, Jabba want food. Like, you know, and they're looking at me like, it embarrasses her. Like, she's like, what's going on with this dude? So anyway, I'm not quite to that level, but yeah, I can stand to lose 10. So anyway, sorry, that sent you into a whole tangent. Point is if I, and here's the problem. Here's the other thing. And we're going on random and then we'll come back to the show in just a second. The other problem is, Dom, is that, like, okay, I could, and I haven't looked at the comments. I could get their nuggets that are like the grilled nuggets or something. And those aren't half bad. I could get a grilled chicken sandwich, like a wheat bun. They do that. But if I'm going to stop at Chick-fil-A, I can't do that. I'm one of those people that I'm either on or I'm off. So if I'm not dieting, I'm going to stop by Chick-fil-A and I'm going to get the spicy chicken sandwich. And I don't do the waffle fries, even though they're outstanding. Their mac and cheese is out of this world. So I go super fat. So I go mac and cheese, spicy chicken sandwich. And then I'm like, oh, can I have a Diet Coke with that? And they're just laughing in the background like, dude, you just went mac and cheese, spicy chicken sandwich, and a Diet Coke. I don't want the sugar. I don't do any sugary drinks. Lots of water. I'm good with water. But anyway, sorry, that's probably more than you needed to know or wanted to know, actually. Sorry, we will not be reporting from the Chick-fil-A because when I'm on the diet, I can't stop at Chick-fil-A and get something healthy. I can't, you know what I mean? I can't, I'm just like, I just have to swear it all off because I'm just not good at it. And the other thing, like people talk about cheat meals. If I do one cheat meal, it's a cheat month. It's a cheat week at least. I can't do it. I got to swear myself off everything. Everything. And it sucks because when you have kids in the house that we have ages, so my son's in the house for 2 more weeks, and then he's going to Cape Cod to cover the Cape Cod Baseball League. By the way, wrote a great preview of the Big 12. Arizona State got into the NCAA tournament. Was writing all day yesterday. So he's going to the Cape Cod League on June 9th. We went to the A's game yesterday, Sunday. So he's only going to be around 2 more weeks, but he eats a lot of protein bars and stuff, but he's in the house. He's got stuff I can't eat. We have a high school freshman going into the sophomore year, and we have a seventh grader going into eighth grade. And their habits, they're not mine. They're not mine. I can't do it. Let's see, what else do I got here? Oh, Trader Joe's is good. Trader Joe, if you're dieting, Trader Joe's is like the place. Absolutely. Don't mean to go on this long of a tangent. I got to get back to something here real quickly. But let's see. Don't eat what? Don't eat that 60 plus chemical chicken sandwich. Oh, really? There's 60 plus chemical. It's like telling me not to eat a hot dog. I got to be honest with you. Is great for, as oh good good to know. If I eat, here's the problem. Like I'll give you the last one, and then we'll go back to things. Where are we on the board? We just did Vic on Moody. We're on Knicks Pacers. We'll do that in just a second. I was at the ballpark on Sunday at the A's game. I have no issue with that stadium. I understand. And I was sitting right there when Mark Kotze got tossed and had to do the walk of shame into the outfield clubhouse. And I feel bad for these guys. If they got to go to the bathroom, like Brent Rooker's like trying to like not be seen. He's got to go to the bathroom. He's the DH. He's got to go all the way out there. The pitchers for, they're going out. I mean, it's so bush league from a player perspective. Now from a fan perspective, in and out of the parking lot, really easy. It was a beautiful day. It was about 80 degrees. We walked the whole stadium. There was people out on the lawn having a good time. Like from a baseball standpoint, unless you miss that next level here's that field. Oh, there's more seats up here. Like that whole effect where you walk in, you're like, ooh, like you don't get that. You definitely don't get that. But in terms of the ball game itself, it was good. But my point is that you mentioned, somebody mentioned how a chicken sandwich was made and there's lots of chemicals at Chick-fil-A. I can't go to the ball game without eating a hot dog. I just can't. And so, we had a couple of beers. We were hanging out, whatever. And then they had and they don't have the greatest food selections there, I'll say that. But they had a hot dog and sausages and everything. And I usually would go with like a hot link or something, but I just wasn't feeling that. So I just got the regular old dog. And I think I downed that thing in 3 bites. That's why I'm on a diet. I was like, what am I doing? Sunday did it for me. Because I'm driving home and I had peanuts and I had a couple of beers and I had early in the game, of course. I cut that off very early. And then I had a dog and I was driving home and I'm like, that's it. Like I'm done. Like it's almost end of May. I got to lose 10. And I got to be taking my shirt off of the pool. There's no, that's it. That's what happened. I was just like, I'm done. All right. we're on Knicks Pacers. Knicks Pacers tonight. I talked about this in a short yesterday, which you can get at John Lund Unleashed. And a lot of people were hitting me up on this. You know this if you watch the show on a regular basis or listen on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast, that I'm a conspiracy theorist. And I just don't believe Oklahoma City took a 3-1 series. We'll talk about both of them. So we got Knicks, Pacers, OKC, Minnesota. They're both on the board there on the chalkboard. Oklahoma City beats Minnesota. Anthony Edwards, a total no-show. Julius Randle, a total no-show. And I'm sure Warriors fans are going, oh, where was this in the last series? Yeah, Oklahoma City has size. There's a guy named Chet Holmgren. There's a guy named Hartenstein on the Thunder. They have size. Something worse didn't. That's giving Minnesota trouble. They can't just waltz to the basket anytime they want or grab offensive rebounds anytime they want or whatever. So that's giving them problems, and that's something the Warriors will fix in the offseason. I don't know. People have hit me up with this in comments. Would the Warriors have fared better than Minnesota has? Well, if Steph Curry was completely healthy, and by the way, I think Minnesota still would have won that series. It's about matchups. last night, the secondary players from Minnesota couldn't have played better. And they just were waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for Anthony Edwards to do something, and he never did. Meanwhile, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the MVP, every time they needed a big hoop, he got it. That's just what happened. Jalen Williams stepped up big time for the Thunder last night, and they showed why they're so good. They've got a 1-2 punch that I doubted at times this year. I still think that if the Knicks make it, I think the Knicks will beat Oklahoma City, but Oklahoma City is really good, and it wouldn't surprise me at this point if they won. They got their scare from Denver in a 7-game series for a team who has won and knows what it takes to win. If Aaron Gordon is healthy in game 7, do they win? Maybe. But Oklahoma City is where they are, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is proving that he's damn worthy of being an MVP, whether I would have voted for him or not, whatever. What does that matter? He's really good. And Jalen Williams came off a bad game last game and was really, really good. And then they've got a bunch of role players who hit shots, play defense. Alex Caruso is – what a great pickup that was. You know, those are the kind of players where, you know, you're glad he's not on the Lakers. But it's like you look at the Lakers and you go, what were you thinking? Like, there's a guy who helps you win basketball games, not always in the box score. He defends. He could defend 1 through 5. And unless it's, you know, like, a you know, he's not defending Şengün so much. But, like, you know, he can guard 1 through 5. They had him on Jokic during that series, you know, just to be a pest. So he can guard 1 through 5. He can hit the occasional shot, but he's going to get you extra possessions. He tipped a bunch of balls out. You know, he saw that Minnesota wasn't guarding cutters and backdoor cuts. He does a couple of those to get him going. Like, he just does all these little things. So they've got a bunch of guys like that on the roster that you're like, okay, there's Shai Gilgeous and there's Jalen Williams. But then Holmgren's blocking shots. They hit a bunch of threes. They're not normally a great three-pointing shooting team, but they look good last night in beating Minnesota. But to me, the story of yesterday's game or last night's game for Minnesota was, where's Anthony Edwards? You know, that guy that crushed the Warriors in the second half of games, where was that guy? Like, I kept waiting for second half Anthony Edwards last night. He never came. And DiVincenzo's hitting shots and, you know, all these other guys that you haven't even heard of. Who's number 00 on Minnesota? He didn't play in the Warriors series. Like, that guy's hitting shots. They're hitting shots all over the place, and they're just, like, looking at Anthony Edwards going, please. He had 2 shots in the first half. Like, dude, you got to take 10, even if they're just, like, blind from, you know, midcourt. You can't do that. So anyway, there's that side of it. But Knicks Pacers, let me go back to my conspiracy theory. Sorry, I got sidetracked there. I just don't think they're going to have Oklahoma City and Indiana in the NBA Finals. I just don't think the NBA will allow it. So, you know, we'll see. Tonight's game is going to be interesting to me in that I'm going to watch the Zebras. I'm going to watch the whistles. There's a way that the playoffs have been called. They've allowed them to be incredibly physical. Couple of times, again, he just fell into his old ways. Anthony Edwards was expecting to go to the free throw line and was like, get your ass up, get back to the other end and play defense. They're not giving you that call. They haven't given you that call the entire playoffs. So stop it. Stop whining. Get up and go. Stop trying to sell that thing. Some reason, like on picks and, you know, weird things, they'll give weird calls. But then if you got the ball in your hands and you're trying to drive to the rim, a lot of times it's like there better be a machete involved in your head rolling off the floor. Then you might get a call. But short of that, you're probably not getting a call if you're going to the rim. They're letting them play physically. They're letting them play physical inside. They're letting them play physical on people trying to get to the rim, all those kind of things. So it's look, that's the way it is. So if in this series all of a sudden we see a bunch of nitpicky fouls and whistles and things like that, then you and I can talk about it. If not, then I'm wrong. You know, if Indiana wins tonight and they take a 3-1 series lead, now maybe the Knicks can come back from that. Probably not. But I expect that the Knicks win again. We're 2-2 going back to Madison Square Garden, and there might be a couple of things where you're like, ooh, what was that? But it could be wrong. It could be wrong. I would be surprised if the NBA allowed an Oklahoma City-Indiana NBA Finals. It would be one of the lowest-rated NBA Finals of all time, and they don't like that. So we'll see. I could be wrong, but we'll see. All right, before we get to the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol, I have a good one for you tonight, and it has to do with Jimmy, or today, and it has to do with Jimmy Butler. So let me double-check, make sure I don't have anything else that I need to hit here. And do remember, let's see, okay, just double-checking on this stuff. By the way, thank you for joining us in the chat room today. A lot of great chat going on today. If you're watching on X at John Lund Radio, if you're watching on Instagram at John Lund Radio, head over to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and please subscribe and hang in our chat room. Lynn Bird, haven't seen you in a while. Shroom Boys, good to see you, man. Good morning to you all. Let me double check on, I always like to double check on Instagram. A lot of people hanging in Instagram today. Very, very cool, man. Hello, Instagram people. Very nice. All right, we got a good crowd in on Instagram and on X today, as I was just double checking everybody. All right, let's hit this. Let me get the open ready for the Sweet Clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol. Nobody likes snakes. I mean, I'm not a snake guy. You're not a snake guy. I don't like snakes on a plane. You may have seen this video. This is from a couple of days ago. Jimmy is, I don't even know where this is, but I know that Jimmy is all over the place as far as where is Jimmy, and maybe we'd have to play a game of where in the world is Jimmy Butler. Here you go.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
Yo, Caboose Pistol, everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose Pistol?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
All right, so Jimmy Butler is on vacation. I'm not sure the exact scenario, but you can see this on his Instagram page, Jimmy Butler's Instagram page. And I think it's one of these street vendors, you know, you do that and I keep on walking, but it's Jimmy Butler. And I don't want to tell you anymore. You'll get the idea and then we'll talk about it.
Which one is it? Look, I have a deck. And inside the deck, you have one.
Oh,
shit!
Oh,
so Jimmy's like, all playing aside, I don't do snakes. So he's doing some kind of a card trick, and then it was a fake snake, and it comes popping out of the deck, as you can see there, and Jimmy just loses it. I mean, Jimmy's a tough guy, playoff Jimmy, injuries, this, that, and the other, but man, it comes to snakes. Jimmy don't play snakes. I mean, clearly, as you can see right there, Caboose, Jimmy snakes, which is where we are on the chalkboard today in episode 151, but Jimmy doesn't play snakes. Now, I can relate. Snakes, whatever. I grew up in Southern California, so when we would go out, we'd see snakes all the time. We would go. It's a different day. Your parents just let you go. They're like, okay, come back, like summertime, like come back at, you know, 5 or you know, come get a snack after school, then you're out. So, I mean, we saw snakes all the time. We did weird things to tarantulas, grasshoppers. I mean, there was a different era. You know, because we didn't have video games as much or anything like that. And so, I mean, we did, but your parents kicked you out of the house. So it's like, go ride your bikes, go find something to do. Well, to find something to do, we would get ourselves into trouble and we would ride our bike somewhere. And then there's a snake or there's a tarantula or there's a big spider or there's a, you know, so a kind of a different era of kid where it was like, that didn't really bother me. You know what I mean? And we probably, to be 100% honest, and maybe the statute of limitations is probably up. We did unspeakable things probably to snakes, you know, maybe with rocks and certain things. Cause like, whoa, but I don't think I ever came across like a rattler or anything like that. But yeah, I do not like snakes. Any kind of creatures, you know, creepy crawly. One of my roommates, I've told this story before in college. I lived in a fraternity house and we all voted for it and I voted against it. People voted for it, but he had this big, I don't know what you call it. It's not an aquarium, that's fish, but this big encasement, and he had a snake in it. And sure enough, and he was in the room next to me. So I was like, no, no, no. And he'd have this thing out and he'd be playing with it. And he thought it was funny. And the people who were not afraid of snakes like me were like, oh, this is totally cool. It's totally fine. And the thing got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then of course, what did it do? It escaped. And I'm like, dude, no. And then we never had another snake in the thing. And they found it, but it was like, it was gone for a couple of hours. And I was like, no. And I'm in the room next to him. I'm like, no, 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 no. And it was a non-poisonous snake, but it was this giant snake. And, you know, I'd have nightmares of the thing, like, you know, got out of its cage and got my neck or something. I'm not a snake guy. But I don't think I would have reacted like Jimmy reacted there. I mean, he lost his shit right there.
No.
Here, let me go back just a little bit. Let me go back just right when he freaked out. Here we go, right here.
Inside the deck.
Oh, shit!
All right.
that snake away, dog. It was a fake. Anyway, yeah, Jimmy doesn't do snakes. Clearly, Jimmy doesn't do snakes. So there you go. That is your Sweet Clean Family Friend, the Caboose Pistol. That is Jimmy Butler. He does not do snakes. So tough guy, plays with injuries, all these different things. Jimmy Butler doesn't do snakes. We know that. Jimmy Butler doesn't do snakes. That is episode 151. One more time, I got to let you know that my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, as we talk about at the beginning of the show, that is the place to go. I am feeling great. I just had my update about 2 weeks ago, quick blood check, and then he gets my testosterone levels where they need to be every 3-4 months. I don't have to do it every week anymore. It is awesome. Click on that QR code, and you're going to feel great as well. And tell Dr. Riopelle that John Lund sent you over, and he will treat you extra special, if you know what I mean. And like I told you before, my wife does the stem cell treatments. Amazing. And I'm not just saying that, man. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. The shoulder, the elbow, she doesn't have to ice anymore. We go to Vegas. She can walk around. She even turned to me a month ago when we were in Vegas and said, without Dr. Riopelle, I am not doing this. I'm yelling at you and screaming at you to not walk anymore. And we're in the hotel or we're at a casino or we're sitting down somewhere. I mean, that's 100% the truth. He is in San Ramon. He is worth the trip. If you're not in the East Bay, he is incredible. And they do all sorts of other procedures as well. It's not just this. They do all sorts of stuff. So click on the QR code, make an appointment, tell him I sent you over. He will take extra good care of you. If you don't have your phone or if you can't get that QR code, all you got to do is Google it or use your favorite finding device. All you got to do is Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle in San Ramon. All sorts of great procedures they do. Please tell him that I sent you over. He is one of the fine sponsors of the program. Offensive offense we talked about today. Are you panicking on Willie Adames? Put your comments right there. Pitching, Birdsong was good enough to win. The bullpen is the best in baseball. What can they do? I went through a lot of minor league options. There's just not that much out there. Trey Mancini, Mike Ford, Garrett Cooper. Those are the minor leaguers. The best option in the organization is Buster Posey, but he's not going to take off the suit. I even talked about Luciano, who hit 2 home runs last night. He could be the DH. Flores could be your first baseman. They've got to do something. They're not going to do anything with Patrick Bailey. So the shortstop's got to start hitting, and they got to figure out first base. We are a third of the way into the season. It is not early anymore. You will not hear me reference it's early, because it's not when it comes to baseball. OTAs this week, I'll be down there at 49ers HQ, so make sure you tune in every day. 49ers stuff, Vic on Moody. That is Vic Tafer, wrote a great piece in The Athletic today on Jake Moody. It's about physical changes he's making in his approach to kicking. I don't really care about those. I care about the mental approach. When he misses a kick, if he misses a kick, can he get over it? Knicks and Pacers tonight. We'll see if my conspiracy theory holds. OKC looks like they're going to the NBA Finals because Anthony Edwards couldn't step up. Caboose Pistol, Jimmy Snakes. Yeah, he's playoff Jimmy. He is not Jimmy Snakes, and we always do random stuff throughout the show. Anything I missed? Let me make sure that I have not missed anything here. Hey, it's good to see you. And that's a Humboldt Fats. It's good to see you, man. And that is a great, I'm glad you joined the community. And as that is a great message, great day to everyone. Be safe and be blessed. You are welcome in this room anytime, Humboldt Fats. That's absolutely great. Thank you for that. Much appreciated. All right, everybody have a tremendous day. Let me just thank everybody one more time for the supers. Thank you, James. We talked about Patrick Bailey. Can we get Bart back? Fuji, you are the man, Fuji. Thanks for those supers. Remember, you can always guarantee that you get your stuff, question, comments, thoughts on the show. Thanks to Fuji. Yeah, we are going to party when they get to hit above 200, if they do. And you're right, Posey is probably the best option in the organization at first base, but he is not going to take off the suit. So there you go. That is a Tuesday edition of the show. Remember to keep those alerts on. We will be sending more stuff out today. We've got more going on. Make sure that you hit the like button so that the algorithm goes, okay, not half bad. And make sure that you are subscribed on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective. At 11 o'clock, you will see Polymax Particles, and that is only, what, an hour away? Polymax Particles at 11 o'clock with Creative Tony. Tom Tolbert Show, remember, Amy G has joined us, Rod Brooks and Friends, and Quality Hang has joined us, as well as Jeremy Affeldt. So make sure that you're subscribed, and you'll catch all those shows too on the Bay Area Sports Collective. Everybody have a wonderful Tuesday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!